Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Alrighty, welcome aboard everybody. About a minute past the hour. We're halfway through the broadcast week. I'm Bob Kincaid. For those of you who may be just now discovering the show for the first time, and there are many of you from day to day, today to day, and I hope you find yourself a home here. I hope at the Head On Radio Network and with this program that you find a place where you can come and share your thoughts, cuss and discuss, as we say. We'll have the message boards back up on the website soon. But even now, if you want to, you can share in the little live community that exists at the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room. And a quick message, or a quick, you know, just sort of a heads up. I've had some reports. Now, bear in mind, okay, back up. The website that is up now is a sort of a stopgap until John Fox can herd all of the cats back into place and make the website what it previously was. But in the course of putting the website back up, even in a sort of a temporary fashion, apparently people are getting messages from the people using Internet Explorer 7 are getting messages that the website could be a phishing site. Now, bear in mind that Microsoft is not saying that it is, because that would be actionable, and Microsoft hates getting sued. But for some reason or other, warnings are popping up that say a suspicious website the site's getting flagged yellow as suspicious and possibly a phishing site. And Microsoft says a suspicious website has some of the typical characteristics of phishing websites, but it is not on the list of reported phishing websites. The website might be legitimate, but you should be cautious about entering any personal or financial information unless you are certain that the site is trustworthy. Our site is trustworthy. We will be reporting this to Microsoft as soon as we possibly can, so that we can make that stupid little warning stop popping up. And frankly, I don't know why it's popping up. Our IT professional, Peter Godbold, doesn't know why it's popping up. All the computer smart people, John Fox, many others, don't know why it's popping up, but it is. So just please, it is only on Internet Explorer. So just please bear in mind, there's nothing malicious on the website, and it is utterly, absolutely safe. So just please bear with us. Oh, my God. You know, it's just another day in Happy Valley. These things happen on the inner tubes. Yeah, and we promise we will not ask for, we're not going to ask you for your firstborn child or send you emails telling you that we are a the Nigerian woman whose husband recently died, who is currently suffering from cancer, who has $10 million to give you. No. No. So everything's all good and all safe. And so that's the end of that. So that's the official that's the official announcements for the beginning of the program. By the way, I told you that David Sirota would be joining us. I found out he bailed out on our conversation because he's going to be dog tired this Friday evening. I apologize for that. We'll try to get him back on at some other point in time to talk about his book, The Uprising, because it's a dandy damn good book and well worth the read. And I think he'd enjoy a conversation here on the Horn simply because we're doing some of the stuff that he's cataloging in his book. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. But it is the middle of the week, and that means that tonight is so much more than just any other regular wonderful edition of Head On. Yep, that's right, brothers and sisters. Come on down the blood-red carpet. Lay your hands upon the subwoofer under the altar and feel the healing rays of common faith a-flowing through you. Choir master, if you would, please, get them singing.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest.
Sing it.
He'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree.
Come on!
I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Hallelujah, brethren and sisters. Somebody pass me a snake and a swig of strychnine, because we are going to get rolling right now on prayer meeting right here on the Head On Radio Network, brethren and sisters. I was tickled to run by Bart Kopp earlier today, Brother Bart Kopp being... golly, he's got to be at least a cardinal in the Cathedral of Common Sense. And there he was with that, paying his own respects to George Carlin with that wonderful quote that we ran a couple of nights ago. Religion has convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky who watches everything you do, every minute of every day, and the invisible man has a list of 10 specific things he doesn't want you to do. And if you do any of these things, he will send you to a special place of burning and fire and smoke and torture and anguish for you to live forever and suffer and burn and scream until the end of time. But he loves you! And he needs your money. Oh, gonna miss George Carlin. Gonna miss George Carlin. Let's see. How do I get into the chat room? Question just rolling into the email here. Go to headonradionetwork.com, click chat room, and it'll ask you to register. It should be easy. If you have any problems, shoot me a note. I'll forward it on to our chat moderator, the inimitable ELO, and we'll get you in there one way or the other. And by the way, this is just one of those for the fun of it things. Now, I freely admit that, you know, the chance and possibilities of things just happening serendipitously, certainly. But, you never can tell who's listening. Bart Kopp had a correspondent write to him today in today's page. Talking about George Carlin, he said, he was already a major figure in the tradition of telling the truths that cannot be told through humor. And this is the part. A line that stretches from Mark Twain through Will Rogers to Lenny Bruce and continues in Jon Stewart and Bill Maher. I think I said that Monday night. And that's, it's great when we can get our ideas into the consciousness. When we can turn phrases in such a way that people don't necessarily say so-and-so said that. It just occurs to them as being a great expression of what they're thinking. And if it's a coincidence, it's a coincidence. If it's not, well, thanks for listening. It really, really means a lot to all of us. Now, let's see. Let's follow up a little bit real quick. You remember, of course, that last night we started the program and had significant conversation regarding the filthy claims by an incredibly filthy man, James Dobson, Dr. Dobson, who couldn't put a Band-Aid on somebody without killing him. Well, apparently he's got Obama's got the fundies nervous because they're still trying to shoot back. Absolutely, they are still trying to shoot back, and it just gets a little bit more pitiful every day. Let's see. In this particular case, minions of Dr. Dobson are trying to cover his tracks for him. Let's see. I believe Dr. Dobson and what he says. I listened to him over the years. Funny, most people listen to him over the radio. He is a truthful man of God. So I guess that means God wants to get little boys in the shower and wave their... Oh, geez. Nowhere did Dr. Dobson say he hated Obama. He only clarifies what Mr. Obama obscures. And as far as the world being held up on pillars, that is the funniest thing I ever heard. God's word reads nothing of the sort. Get your references straight. May God open our eyes to the truth. One day, every knee and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Very worldly intelligent, that's spelled, according to this mouth-breathing knuckle walker, I-N-T-E-L-E-G-E-N-T. Very worldly and intelligent men and women have tried to disprove the Bible and fail 100% of the time. It is 100% true and without error in its original text. That's I-T apostrophe S. In it is original text. Come! Lord Jesus, in its original text. And you know, coming from a freakish fundy, this goober's probably thinking of the King James Version. Oh! Obama needs to study his Bible under a good teacher, as obviously he's quoting a lot of misunderstood fallacies. Dobson needs to choose his word better, too. The goal is the glorification of God and the building up of the body of Christ. Beautiful stuff. Oh, darn. There's no link. What? Huh? Okay. I'm sorry. I'm doing trying to do six different things at once here. Let me check real quick. No link to the chat room on that? Yeah, right there. Right under the Head On Radio Network banner. When you go to headonradionetwork.com, Right underneath the 800, where it says head on radio network.com, and then radio network, head on's in red, radio network's in yellow, and it says home, news, and live chat room. Let me see here, just see what happens. Come on. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, if you click live chat room, it says username, password, and then log in. So, you know, give that a try, and barring that, I'll forward this on anyway, just to, it's headonradionetwork.com, exactly. So let me just forward this on to ELO so that she can maybe help if there's a problem. Then mother to the chat room. And it's away. As you can see, apparently the fundies are really, really nervous about this business with Dobson and the filth that he tried to smear Obama with. But there's no let up. And they're going to keep at it and keep at it and keep at it and keep at it. And, of course, that's the nature of what we're doing here for prayer meeting is taking a sharp stick and popping the balloons of the right-wing religion industry. Oh, wow, apparently there's some goober named Matt Friedman who has a live show some right-wing. Hey, let's listen in to Matt Friedman.
Or is that just, you know, something that's been happening? Well, there's no question that Barack Obama has had not the best last 2 weeks. And John McCain keeps thumping away. Now, they're saying, you know, John McCain hadn't had a great couple weeks either, but not bad either, because he's finding himself on the upside of issues that Americans care about, and Barack Obama's finding himself on the downside. But when you come out and across 600...
Now, bear in mind, this is a website maintained by the American Family Association, and they've got so much money that they can just put live streaming video right there on their main page of this goober named Matt Friedman. But, of course, they're such a bunch of cheapskates, they don't even offer a toll-free phone number. No, that's what liberals do.
3 percentage points yesterday, and the Gallup tracking poll have them absolutely, I believe it's 42-42 today. Absolutely even now, the same score in their Gallup tracking poll. Now, is that just, you know...
Listen to that dirty little son of a bitch lie. The latest polls show Obama up by 15 points. And he's out there telling the knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing faithful that they're dead even. It's a dead heat. One more...
For tat with Dr. James Dobson, I wouldn't think. And it may just be that will cause James Dobson to be coming out and saying, you know, we really do have to support somebody in this presidential election. I know what I've said about John McCain in the past, but maybe it's time to start lining up. I don't know if James Dobson will do that. But the truth is, very interesting Gallup tracking poll has it absolutely totally even today. It's the Matt Friedman Show. Hey, give us a phone call, 601-713-0500.
Oh, help me, help me, help me. The demon spirit is on me. Oh, please, don't make me dial that number. Don't make me dial that number. Oh, Lord, don't make me dial that number. Let's see what kind of advertisements they run.
William Chevrolet is a family-owned and operated business.
Yeah, talking for Jesus and hustling the Chevrolets. And of course, they can't hustle the Ford. Wait, I thought the American Family Association ended its boycott of Ford. Wow, do you see? Just think about that. This is the American Family Association, supported tax-free. What's that line from the song? Do I need to play it again? And it's all tax-free. It's all tax-free. So that they can put dishonest filth out on the airwaves for people who aren't very sharp in the first place to use to back up their bigotry and to validate their hate. Anybody who thinks that this thing is a boat race, that it, you heard, and you heard this freak say it, it's time for Dr. Dobson to come out and get behind John McCain. And he will, just like I told you he will. Oh, this is, I just feel all dirty. I don't know how I go on to the rest of the stories. But we're going to do that anyway. First place we're going to go, a story I've been sitting on that you probably already heard about, but I can't resist it. I saved it for prayer meeting. A story from the Columbus Dispatch. A teacher by the name of John Freshwater, who taught, apparently, something that he called science. Mount Vernon, Ohio. I'm sorry, this is one of those geographic moments. He did everything in his power to say that evolution wasn't real and focused instead, outside the boundaries of the school curriculum, mind you, focused on creationism and intelligent design, platypus, appendix, diabetes, cancer. Yeah, intelligent design. You know, the intelligent design from the intelligent designer who loves us all so much he wants to put us in a lake of fire. What George Carlin was talking about, yeah. For 11 years, other teachers in the school district and people in the community complained about Freshwater preaching his phony Christian beliefs in class and slamming scientific theories. Eighth graders who were taught by John Freshwater frequently had to be retaught. No, they had to be taught for the first time because all they got was religious mumbo-jumbo garbage in eighth grade. They had to be completely, for the first time, exposed to the science and the scientific method in high school. This is according to a report from outside investigators who were hired by the school district. The consultant said, and this is a quote, "There is a significant amount of evidence that Mr. Freshwater's teachings regarding subjects related to evolution were not consistent with the curriculum of the Mount Vernon City Schools and state standards." Even after he was told to stop teaching the insane intelligent design and creationism BS that says that the world is just slightly younger than the written recipe for bread. Even after he was told to stop it, he went on. And then there's this. And I'm just going to read it straight from the story so it can settle in nicely with you the way it has with me for several days now. The report confirmed that Freshwater burned crosses onto students' arm using an electrostatic device in December. Freshwater told investigators, because, of course, being a Christian, he is therefore a liar. A phony Christian. Not all Christian. But being a phony Christian, you know, an evangelical, a creationist, an intelligent design type, you know, one of these fundamentalist freaks, because he's one of those, he is therefore a liar, and he told investigators that the marks were X's and not crosses. Every one of the students interviewed in the investigation, however, reported being branded with crosses. Branded! Branded! But this is America in 2008, and the President of the United States is a man named George W. Bush, who was busted in college for branding pledges to his fraternity. He was a deke, a Delta Kappa Epsilon, okay? He was a deke, and he was busted for branding freshmen pre-initiates to his fraternity with white hot coat hanger wires. His response, it ain't no worse than a cigarette. It ain't no worse than a cigarette burn. Have you ever had a cigarette burn? It hurts! I mean, there's a photograph here on the news story at dispatch.com, and you can see the scar. Yes, scar! Left. from the branding. And if that's an X, I'm an alien aviator, okay? From planet Zoop. These people are nuts. The family of one student who was branded, filed a federal lawsuit last week against Freshwater and the school district saying the student's civil rights were violated. Well, duh. But they'll have to fight this all the way through the court system because, of course, and you can hear, again, you know, we talked about this the other night. You can hear the little defense lawyer arguing now. Mr. Freshwater had a perfectly legitimate right under the First Amendment to the Constitution of freedom of religion. And these children were volunteers. They voluntarily accepted the mark of Christ Jesus upon their physical beings as a manifestation of their faith under the rights guaranteed by the First Amendment. Oh, glory, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Let Brother Freshwater come up here. Let's brand the jury to ho! This is a public school. This isn't even one of those weird-ass religion industry schools. This is a public school. And they turned a blind eye and turned a blind eye. After 11 years of complaints from other teachers in the school district, people in the community complaining about this freak. And they're afraid to touch him because he'll say, you're hating on me because I'm a servant of the Lord. And the family's attorney, who is probably apparently a real fire breather, someone by the name of Jessica Philemond, said it was unfortunate that the school district didn't do anything sooner to stop Freshwater. These concerns had been going on for at least 11 years and the school had not done anything. If the school district had knowledge, it seems to me you would want to look up the people who had the knowledge and file criminal accessory charges against the rotten pieces. It's one of those alien moments where the little creature's just going to go right out of my chest. One of these. Neither Freshwater nor his attorney, Roger Weaver, could be reached for comment. However, Freshwater's friend Dave Daubenmeyer defended him.
With the exception of the cross-burning episode, I believe John Freshwater is teaching the values of the parents in the Mount Vernon School District. With the exception of the cross-burning episode. That's episode, that means one. Not episodes, like all the students. With the exception of the cross-burning episode, he was representing.
So, in other words, Dave Daubenmeyer thinks that the parents in the Mount Vernon City School System are also damn stupid, that they think that the world is, as I said, slightly younger than the written recipe for bread. Slightly younger than farming. Slightly younger than... Oh my God! Did you read about that? The oldest human habitation to date found. Now, by human, I'm not talking about Lucy and Homo habilis and Homo erectus and all that crowd. But no, the real, human. What may very well be the oldest human habitation found on the planet thus far. Was it 700,000 years old or 70,000 years? 70, and it was found at Qatar. And it sort of sheds, if it all pans out, it sheds a new light on the means by which our human ancestors left Africa to begin to populate the rest of the planet. And again, I reiterate the fact that part of the reason for all of this rejection of evolution business is that you gotta look at some lily white people who are usually evangelicals and you gotta say, baby, your home's in Africa too. Is not! And they hate that. Oh, who's Dave Daubenmeyer, by the way? Dave Daubenmeyer is the former London High School football coach. He got sued in 1999 by the heroes at the American Civil Liberties Union because he was insistent on making his football players pray at football games, at practices and meetings.
Do you think there are other teachers in the public classroom that are trying to drive their opinions in the classroom? Daubenmeyer asked. I don't care who you are. You cannot separate your value system from your teaching.
All of this, 11 years worth of religious torment in the public school system, branding, deliberate rejection and violation of the law of the school district and the state, it only came to light this past April when this freak Freshwater wouldn't take a Bible off of his desk like the school district told him to. The report says he was insubordinate for failing to remove the Bible and other religious materials from his classroom. Other religious materials.
Children, today, instead of studying biology, instead of studying science, I want to show you something I saw on the internet last night. Praise Jesus. Look here. Look here. A woman has found two French fries. She was eating her biggie fries, and only the grace of God kept her from stuffing this in her goblin maw. Looky here. Looky here at this picture I done found on the internets. Mm-hmm. Look at that. Them French fries is in the shape of a cross. It is. See there? Looky. And if you look here, let me blow it up a little bit here with the PowerPoint machine. Looky there. Looky there. See that little lump on the longer French fry? Don't it look just like Jesus? It's a miracle. Jesus appeared to this woman on a French fry. Discuss.
And you know these religious barbarians are such that anybody who dared to stand up to him would have gotten poor marks, to say the least. It reminds me of something else entirely, and that is something I ran across at one of my recent favorite humor sites. It's a Canadian site. It's called Knucklehead. This guy's really good. He's got a great taste for the picking out just fun pictures and things like that. Knucklehead, CANUCKLEHEAD.CA. Subtitle, Where Common Sense Comes to Die. Well, there was I found a letter there, and, you know, it seems so ridiculous that you would not possibly believe it to be true. But then you think about it and wait a minute, this probably is. Because that's the way this place is these days. It was a letter. It was a letter apparently written home to the parents of a child who had been allegedly insubordinate. See, I'm trying to pull this up on the fly. Yeah, there it is. I don't know, maybe this is just another one of those internet myths, but this is so believable. Dear Blank, this dates back to apparently April 20th, 1994. Is it real? I don't know. Do you find it believable? Yeah. From a teacher named Adam Hilliker, supposedly. Dear Blank, you may already know this, but in case Alex has neglected to tell you, I am assigning him to detention for 1 hour this Friday, April 22nd. The reason is as follows. Alex consistently defied me. During class, he contradicted me numerous times when I insisted that the length of 1 kilometer was greater than that of 1 mile. Every other student in class accepted my lesson without argument, but your son refused to believe what I told him, offering such rebuttals as, "You're lying to the class," and commanding other students to challenge my curriculum. Although he was correct, Alex's actions show a blatant disregard for authority and a complete lack of respect for his school. In the future, Alex would be better off simply accepting my teachings without resistance. Please see to it that your son understands this. Is that real? Don't know. Not trying to tell you that it is. But it certainly does sound like the kind of crap you would expect to come out of Mr. Freshwater's mouth, don't you? Would anyone have had the nerve to challenge that religiously insane freak inside his class? When the rotten, evil bastard is willing to brand people? That's a level of courage that we can't even expect from our elected representatives in Congress, let alone a 14-year-old in, or 13-year-old in 8th grade. And apparently challenging him wouldn't have done any good in the first place because the school system let this go on for 11 years. Holy mackerel. Because after all, they were terrified. And you see, if this evil bastard does manage to get fired, I know. I'm gonna go to the American Family Association's website, and I'm gonna see that Ohio Christian teacher being persecuted for his beliefs. And then, because, you know, it's like driving slowly by a car wreck, I'm going to have to look, and I'm going to go into the blog, and I'm going to, what a shame that we have forgotten that we are a Christian nation. How dare this school system persecute this good man for simply trying to keep children on the straight and narrow instead of the broad path to condemnation that is evolution. You know it, and I know it. It's going to be right there. This guy was branding people with an electrostatic device? What kind of electrostatic device? Okay, tech junkies, tech advisors, what sort of electrostatic device does one use to brand little children? And where in the Bible did it suffer the little children to come unto me that I may brand them? What? Oh, wow. Matthew, welcome to the chat room. Enjoy your stay. Hope you'll be back and back and back and back. Shh. Matthew's a really, really old friend. So, but that's not the only school story tonight. No. An editorial from the Toledo Blade on something that I should have brought up a long time ago, but didn't. Forgot to, you know, that these things just... At Shasta High School in Redding, California. Let's see, what was it, a week or so ago? Maybe 2 weeks ago that we had the story out of somewhere near San Diego of the California High School where the teachers and the administration deliberately lied to the children and told them that their best friends had been killed in drunk driving accidents. Well, this one's out of Shasta High School, and it's nothing quite... you could say it's nothing quite as nefarious as that, and it certainly isn't branding, but in a way, it's worse. Because it is a rape of rights. Shasta High School, Redding, California. The student newspaper there ran a front-page photo of a student burning an American flag and an editorial defending the protest as free speech. Which, by the way, it is. So how did the high school administrators respond to this? He shut the newspaper down. He completely eliminated the Shasta High School student newspaper. Now, Principal Mylon Woolard. Oh, there's a guy who got beat to death every day on the playground. Probably still working it out against the students, too. This man engaged in pure, unmitigated censorship. The editorial was written by Connor Kennedy. He wrote the flag-burning editorial after studying the issue in a government class inside the high school. He said it was terribly ironic that the newspaper would be shut down for exercising free speech, quote, particularly when the curriculum being taught was that this was free speech. And now the principal's trying to hide behind his budget. Now, see, this is prayer meeting, so we got to sort of tie it in and tie it together. Had the person in the photo only been holding a poster next to the burning flag that said, "I'm burning the flag for Jesus," it would have been okay. Because in 2008, in Bushmerica, in a country that is at least claims to be led by a little psychopath in the White House who enjoyed blowing up frogs and torturing small animals as a child and grew up to go on to college where he tortured underclassmen with white-hot wires and branded them with the Greek letter Delta. Well, it's all okay. Because we can't have high school students out there thinking that they got real free speech rights unless they're a free speechin' for Jesus. I don't know about you, but I find this nightmarish. This is a nightmare of fascism that I seem unable to wake up from. How about you? You know, a couple of questions come to mind, and yeah, they're sort of golden rule questions, but A, what would you do if you found out that your kid had been branded by somebody who was supposed to be a science teacher at the kid's middle or junior high school? What would you do? Would you sit around and wait to sue? What would you do if you found out that your kid was being punished for writing an editorial about something that he learned was protected speech in government class? What would you do? Still, the principal, who is under no... This is an editorial, like I said, from the Toledo Blade. The principal, who is under no legal obligation to spend money on school newspapers or elective journalism classes, insists dropping the paper was always a budget option. What cemented his decision to pull funding from the paper, he added, was the student's decision to showcase flag burning. The Toledo Blade says it's a self-defeating way to teach young people about the freedom of expression and is a lost chance to enhance their education. Well, what pretty little words. It's also fascism. Pure and simple fascism. So, start with the kids. Brand them early, I say. I guess I'll have to get off the air tonight and go and heat up the soldering iron. And I don't know. I'll ask the kids how they... I'm thinking on, like, you know, the left shoulder blade, the flying spaghetti monster done with the soldering iron. Now, I'll give them a bullet or an old rag to bite on or something, because it's, you know, it's okay. No, I won't. That's sick. That's twisted. And anybody who would do it, don't fire this guy Freshwater at Ohio. Put the bastard in prison for a long time. Branding. In science class. Kids, today we're going to learn how to use the soldering iron. Johnny, give me your arm. This way, when Jesus comes back, he'll know that you're ready for the rapture. Sir, By the way, some states are wising up a little bit. Fully half of the states have decided to take a powder on the Bush administration's abstinence-only grants. Science correspondent writes in, the electrostatic device is likely a form of the Van der Graaff generator. You build a charge with some sort of friction, store it in a capacitor, and then trigger the discharge coming when the charged end of the rod is touched the skin of the oppositely charged skin of the grounded student. Almost certainly, it would have hurt. Yeah, probably would have. But remember, it was pain that was suffered for Jesus' sake. And if he can stand the pain of being hung on the tree, you can take a little bit of hot electricity applied to your flesh. Imagine how Jesus suffered while you think you're in pain, kid. Now, many states are walking away from the Bush administration's abstinence-only programs, mainly because they don't work. $50 million of your money has been budgeted this year for the abstinence-only programs, even though there are states out there that need that kind of money, or some portion thereof, much more for things like science classes, math classes, computers, hell, art classes, music classes, journalism classes, theater programs, the stuff that enriches the mind beyond the simple nuts and bolts of reading, writing, and Christian arithmetic. You know, where two and two happen, you put two with two and then a miracle happens and it's five, and that's okay if little Johnny writes it on his paper and you have to grade him that way because he said it's for Jesus' sake. I hate the way that we evade the issues in this country, because every now and then you'll see some hand-wringing educator who says, you know, the United States lagging 18th in the graduation rates of scientists and engineers in the United States. Why is that? And they want to blame the kids. It's always about blaming the kids. And never once do they look over at the great big elephant in the room that happens to be religious fundamentalism and say, oh, wait a minute. No wonder little Johnny and little Timmy and little Susie and little Sandy can't be scientists. Their parents are abusing their brains from the cradle upward by feeding them a bunch of insane religious bug spray that keeps them from being able to comprehend it. That goon Sally Kern in Oklahoma out there, you know, beyond the stupid stuff that she said about gay people, but, you know, getting behind the bill that says, you know, if they want to write an essay and they get everything wrong, but they say that they did it for Jesus, you got to give them an A, teach. That's why we're graduating so few engineers and scientists in this country. Because the right-wing religion industry is at war with science and knowledge and mathematics. And because, you see, if the kids learn that stuff, then they turn and they sort of look over at their shoulder at the fleeting, receding vision of the fundamentalist warehouse in which they were tormented through their youth, and they say, goodbye, I'm never coming back. You lied to me for 18 years, and I want nothing to do with you. That's why. That is why. $50 million for abstinence-only education. Many administrators in the various and sundry several states have sincere doubts as to whether the programs do any good. Iowa Governor Chet Culver said the social, psychological, and health gains of abstaining from sexual activity don't seem to really do anything. Because, among other things, the teachers have to teach that sexual activity outside of marriage, wait for this, because this comes from the same people who say things like women seeking an abortion have to be told that abortion causes breast cancer. No, really, you know that. We've talked about it. Well, by the same token, in the schools, under this abstinence-only bilge, teachers have to tell kids that sexual activity outside of merge is likely to have harmful psychological and physical effects. Isn't it funny how they pick and choose? They hate science, but when they need it, they'll just make some up and call it science. It's faith-based science. If you get laid, it's going to warp your mind. This is just the 21st century version of masturbating will grow hair on your palms, okay? It just is. This is don't do it or you'll go blind. This is the same kind. You would think after the couple of hundred years, or thousands, or tens of thousands, that maybe somewhere along the way, an enlightened populace would realize that we do better by our children when we stop lying to them. Don't tell them that masturbation's going to grow hair on their palms or make them go blind. Don't tell them that they're going to be psychologically scarred for getting laid on a Friday night after the football game. Now, if little Johnny doesn't rap his rascal, he'll be psychologically scarred when he's presented with a precious little lumpkin about 9 months later and gives up the football or the baseball scholarship or what have you because his life is over! That's psychologically scarring. But sex in itself, as long as it's between two people who are consenting, that's not scarring, that's nurturing. But the religion industry is, after all, a crowd of people who are hopelessly sexually repressed and terrified of it because it can, in fact, be liberating. You get done, you don't light the cigarettes because they are, that is something to abstain from, the cigarettes. Abstain from the cigarettes, kids. Abstain from unprotected sex. But I thought I saw God. The earth moved. No, I was psychologically scarred. Oh. Okay, let's go to the phones right quick. Hi, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hey, Susan.
You mean my palms ain't going to get all hairy?
I haven't shaved mine in years. Now, of course, that could mean that they're downright furry or that there's no hair growing, but, you know.
Well, they don't look too hairy, you know, and I put hand lotion on them on a regular basis, so...
Leave the lotion out of this, Susan.
Well, I do have one ray of hope.
Okie doke.
In the news article about that incredibly monstrous woman in Oklahoma.
Yes, Sally Kearns.
Yes. There were some posts. One of which was from Oklahoma, and it was a parent who said that she was going to tell her kid to deliberately say a math problem wrong and claim a flying spaghetti monster, and then when they discriminated against him,
Sue.
Now, that's an Oklahoman I can get behind.
Yeah, and you hope that this stuff will come back to bite these fundies in the ass.
Oh, yeah.
But why, you know, but look, while I support the kids suing, I also recognize that normal people's tax dollars are going to go to defend the lawsuit.
Yeah.
There won't be anything frivolous about the lawsuit. It will be just up to its it'll be up to its chin in merit, because that's the law they wrote, because they couldn't write a law that says Christian religious beliefs, because that would be, you know, too obvious. So no. But yeah. why not get it right the first time? What?
And just say science rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can't prove it, it doesn't belong in the classroom.
You know, I shouldn't bring topics like this up, because it brings the comics out. Mama, can I just do it till I need glasses? Oh, God.
Well, it's like Binky. He was last seen wearing a overcoat and slinking into a porno house in downtown Portland. And he has definitely hairy palms. Of course, he's a hamster. You know, what do you expect?
Yeah, exactly. Sure.
But there is one other thing that you neglected to mention on that list of things the kids needed to stay away from.
Okay.
You know, besides unprotected sex. You need to stay away from these stupid funding religions.
And, you know, if you're a rational or free-thinking or atheist or agnostic parent, and your kid has to go to that freak in Ohio for eighth grade science, what the hell do you do? I mean,
the only thing a parent can do is offset as much as possible. You know, when you get him home, say, okay, that's a bunch of crap. You give the teacher what he needs, what he's asking for, just strictly, because otherwise he'll flunk you. But here's the truth, and then plunk a real book down in front of you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I tell you, it's... you know, these stories come to me, Susan, and I just don't... I feel like I'm living in The Onion.
Yeah, I know. It's so sad that the American educational system, which used to be the envy of the world, has fallen to this.
Yeah, it is. I had a great little email from our pal Cindy earlier in the day, and I'm trying to see if it's still here. But what it amounted to was this idea that a youngster looked at an older person and said, "You guys can't understand us. You were practically born in a different world. We've got iPods and computers and high-definition television and DVDs and satellite communications and GPSs. You guys didn't have any of that." And the older person says, "No, that's right. We didn't have any of that. We invented it." So, and that was possible in an America once upon a time. Of course, the once upon a time actually extends far back. Look, American industry invented the transistor, Susan.
Yeah.
And American industry looked at the transistor and says, "It's cute. What the hell are we going to do with it?" And then we just sort of threw it in the scrap heap. And the Japanese looked at it and said, "You know, I think we can make some neat stuff with this."
Yeah.
And the next thing I had, Sony.
Okay, here's something that should scare people to death. It's the people who fail to learn by the lessons of history are doomed to repeat it scenario. After World War II, the United States basically outproduced the entire world. I know in Portland alone, they were launching a Liberty ship a day.
Yeah.
Same with, and it was happening all over the United States. This entire country turned out nothing but war material. And that production capability helped in large part to win World War II. Okay. If we ended up in the same type of scenario today, we're screwed.
Oh, yeah, because we can't make anything. Yeah, no. Precisely.
We can't even produce our weapons.
No. I saw a story, a week or so ago. Critical parts for our weapon systems come from China. That's going to come in handy someday for them, you know.
Yeah. What part of national security don't you people understand?
I know. It's frustrating, but, you know, we've got, instead we got to brand students and we wind up, we wind up talking about meaningless crap in our government and fighting the religion industry on things like who can marry whom.
It's like trimming
your toenails while you're losing a limb. And I'm not denigrating I'm denigrating the religion industry, not the issues.
Right.
But, you know, I wonder sometimes, Susan, if maybe that's not how they intended. Making us fight these stupid little social issue things.
Well, of course.
While their right-wing masters in corporate America get away with murder.
Exactly. One of the things that people can do on a local level that will help this country the most, and it's very easy to do. Get on your local school board. Do you know, hey people, you don't want to know where most of your school books come from? Texas.
Yeah, Texas, by virtue of its buying power, selects the Texas and California select the school books for the rest of the country.
Yeah.
I have the same objection to that as I do with New Hampshire, Iowa, and South Carolina selecting our presidential nominees, because it's the same thing, only different.
Yeah, I really object to Bush country determining what kids in this country are being taught, because you know what they're being taught. They're being taught.
Oh, if you think, no offense, Susan, but if you think you object, you know, Agnes and I have kids in school. We see the books. I mean, they're real slick, and they got slick paper in them, and lots of pictures, and big letters, and no content.
Yeah. And I can remember my school books had a rare picture, very small print, and they were just loaded with content.
Yeah.
Because they assumed you had a brain.
Well, they assumed that someone would demand that you read it.
Yeah.
I know. Well, Susan, we're at the top. I'm gonna roll on, and because we're gonna move away from some of the religious stuff, because there's lots of other stuff to be pissed off about, frankly.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
News Ninja Susan calling in from Columbia City, Oregon. So we will take a little break. Pop right back. Yeah, because we're gonna have to move away from the wonderland of religion into something equally horrifying. The Supreme Court issued a couple of new rulings today. Fun. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. We'll be right back.
never ever leave you at home all alone and crying 10 feet. I know me, my pickup gets me where I please, chugging down the street. But I'll be leaving in a little while. So close your eyes and I'll be back real soon. I'll take it, Reapers. Wash away the night. Yeah, you chew a little juicy fruit. It's good for your soul.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
You know, for some people out there, there's comfort food. Talk about that kind of thing. You know, beans and cornbread, that's one of mine. Once upon a time, it was tomato soup made with milk and Velveeta milk and a little dill weed and some tarragon. The ultimate artery-clogging, pancreas-killing comfort food. There's comfort music, too. And frankly, I'm a little pissed off at Jimmy Buffett. Hooking up with the casino shills on the Gulf Coast in Mississippi. But hell's bells, things like grapefruit, juicy fruit are comfort music to me. Grapefruit, juicy fruit. Commit a little mortal sin, it's good for your soul. And it is. The stuff that is defined as soul-wrenching usually isn't, if it's defined by the evangelicals. Whereas the stuff that they turn a blind eye to, like, you know, a million dead innocent Iraqi civilians, they couldn't care less. That weighs on my soul like an anchor chain. And maybe that's bad for me. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I need the treatment that they gave Alex in Clockwork Orange. Just sit there and put the toothpicks between my eyelids and let me watch happy stuff till I'm all better and don't worry about this stuff anymore and don't let it bother me and just go shopping. America needs you to be patriotic. We need you to go to Disney World. We need you to go shopping. Fly on the airlines. Good God, can you imagine Franklin Delano Roosevelt in one of his fireside chats? Because I asked my dad about this one time. I said, Dad, do you actually remember the fireside chats? He said, oh, we listened to all of them. I said, can you imagine him telling people to go shopping? First thing Dad said was, well, I can't imagine what we would have shopped for because there wasn't nothing. It was, after all, the Depression. But no, he said, no, he couldn't imagine any president of the United States telling America to go shopping. But that's not where this hour. Hey, by the way, you know the phone number, right? 877-443-2366, 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's toll free. If you need us to carry the freight, we will, and we'll be happy to do it. And I promise not to keep you on hold too long. Or if you want to do it on your own nickel, you got an unlimited long-distance plan or you know, some sort of a cell plan that's got oodles of free minutes or whatever. 304-658-3333. 304-658-3333. Get you straight into the studio and straight into some of the hottest conversation on the intertubes. And, you know, so learn it, know it, use it. Email bob@headonradio.com. I don't give that nearly enough either. I keep forgetting that there are new listeners, like I said. By the way, our pal Cindy wrote in to say that she's listening to C-SPAN 2, where they just voted to open the FISA fight, so she says the filibuster attempt is on. Maria Cantwell, she says, is the acting pro tem of the Senate. She says, I'm listening to you out of the other player. Volume up, volume down. Can't turn off the horn. God love you, Cindy. And that's the beauty of multitasking. We've opened a new way to process information. The whippersnappers are really good at it. They can do six different things at once. And then walk and chew gum. And it's amazing. But even here, I hazard to say that I am the only, well, not I, but we at the Horn are the only ones who actually interact in a chat room, take phone calls, talk, do email, the whole thing all at the same time. Gotta roll with the punches, right? Got to be part of the interactive media experience. And look, let me just get this off my chest. I'm so damn jealous I can't stand it. That right-wing freak on that AFA news site sending live video because they've got more money than they know what to do with. Yeah, I'm jealous. I mean, there's no sense in me sitting here trying to hide who I am or what I am or how I am. It pisses me off because the credulous and the stupid will support the spread of stupidity via people like that. What's his name? Friedman. I'm so glad that the urge to call that goober passed. No, the Supreme Court has been busy today. Two rulings came out. One that struck me in my moral sense as being the right way to go about things, namely that Louisiana isn't allowed to execute people for being child rapists, and you know, because I'm opposed to the death penalty. I believe it was horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner who said, I want them sitting there staring at those four walls for the rest of their lives, thinking about what they did that put them there that's going to keep them from ever seeing the outside. Yeah. You got it. Spot on, Rick. Of course, Rick's frequently spot on. Almost always. The other Supreme Court decision, however, has gotten much less airplay. You know, can we execute the kitty rapists? Yeah, that's got sex appeal in the media. But it's the other one that just gets all over you and just spreads from pore to pore to pore like some sort of psychosocial legalistic poison oak. And that's the Exxon Valdez decision, a 5-3 decision. A 5-3 decision, 5 and 3 is 8 and 9 being on the Supreme Court. It's a 5-3 decision because Sammy the Pure Alito had to make sure that the fix was in, and then he declared that he wouldn't have anything to do with the decision of the case because he's got a portfolio that's positively bulging with ExxonMobil stock. At the time of the trial for the Exxon Valdez disaster, the jury, tried and true, as the saying goes, heard the evidence of the damage, the economic harm, the woe, the misery, the pain, the suffering, the emotional distress, and they made an award for all of that against Exxon. But they also heard evidence, the jury did, of the profoundly egregious nature of the conduct of Exxon that led up to that disaster. That dumbass ship captain. I'm perfectly okay to drive this boat. Get out of the way. I'm driving this boat. I'm the captain. Why aren't we going anywhere? Captain, you've steered the ship onto the land, and all the oil's leaking out now. That's not possible. I'm an excellent ship driver. Now, the jury heard exactly what went into creating the Exxon Valdez disaster, and the jury found, as a matter of fact and law, that the conduct of the Exxon Corporation was absolutely chock-a-block, rock and roll, just swimming in grossly negligent conduct, conduct that was beyond grossly negligent. It was willful. It was wanton. It was reckless. It was conduct that was engaged in without any consideration whatsoever for the well-being of anyone but their shareholders. And as a result of hearing all of that evidence, that jury that was tried and true said, okay, we're not only going to give compensatory damages, we're going to award punitive damages. We're going to create a damages award that will actually punish Exxon for what it has done to the people up and down the coastline of the state of Alaska. We're going to make them feel it in the only place that a corporation is capable of feeling. We're going to hurt them in the pocketbook. We're going to put a knife in their wallet. And so, the jury, in the Exxon Valdez case, awarded punitive damages against Exxon in the amount of $5 billion. Here in 2008, that seems almost laughable when the profit margin for ExxonMobil is two and three times that in a quarter, let alone a year. That wouldn't even be punishment now. But it's worth. Please remember that the purpose of punitive damages is to punish. It is not to compensate. It is not for purposes of making the victims as whole as money can possibly do. The purpose of punitive damages is punishment. It is supposed to hurt. It is a sanction, the only sanction that a jury can impose on a defendant that has engaged in a civil case, that is found to have engaged in conduct as wholly evil as what Exxon engaged in. It was more than fair, it was more than just, and you can even argue that even at that time, that $5 billion was maybe a third of what should have been awarded in terms of punitive damages. But that was in the past. Today was the present. Today was the present in more than one sense of the word. Today was the present that the Supreme Court of the United States gave to the CEO of ExxonMobil. June the 25th, 2008 may very well be forever remembered in the halls of the corporate headquarters of ExxonMobil as Christmas in June. because the Supreme Court gave a gift to Exxon that is, well, it's beyond comparison. Now, between the jury verdict, the $5 billion the punitive damages jury verdict against Exxon, and today, there was an intermediate appellate court appeal. And they heard it, and they looked at the punitive damages award, and they said, Jesus God, you can't do that to poor little Exxon! Poor little Exxon! Here, baby, come here. Let Mama make it all better. Here, there. You're not going to have to pay any nasty old $5 billion. No, sugar. Here, Snookums, let's make it all better. Here. See, look, stop crying. Wipe your eyes. Blow your nose. It's okay, baby. See, we made it all better. It's only a $2.5 billion punitive damages award. But it still wasn't good enough. And the Exxon Board of Directors and the Exxon shareholders and the Exxon corporate officers cried their little lungs out. And they cried all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States. And oral arguments were had some months back. And today the decision was rendered. And poor little Exxon was taken in the warm and loving arms of the Supreme Court of the United States, hiccuping and coughing and snotting and blowing and weeping for the spanking it had received from a tried and true jury. And the Supreme Court of the United States said, there, baby. There. Calm down. It's all going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. We're the court, and we're going to take care of you, sugar. Screw those fishermen whose lives were ruined. Screw those towns that were destroyed forever. Screw all the wildlife that you murdered. Screw everything, baby, because Mama loves you best. Here now. We'll fix it. Now, you know you did wrong, so you're going to have to take a little bit of a spanking. Here, let Mama tap you on the wrist. Okay, there you go. Now, see, your punitive damages award is only $500 million now. See? See there? Yeah. Feel better now? Good. Now you run along and play. Go back out there. Go back out there and kick the American people around some more. Go back out there and destroy middle-class America, what's left of it, with $4.10 and rising gasoline prices. You go on, sugar. You be good now. And they call it justice. And they call it justice. Our pal Kate writes in, I was there, Bob. Dead birds and fish in oily goo. Beaches ruined forever. Town's economy trashed. There's no amount of money that can make any of that right. The state, the town folks, the town, and nature will be paying for this for a century at least. Mother, forgive us all. And I understand there's no amount of money that can make it right. But money is all that a jury usually has. And the jury that sat and heard that case for those long, long, long days, hours, weeks, and did the hard work of coming up with a verdict that they felt like was justice. Well, they got spit on today as much or more but nearly as much as the people in the towns that were ruined themselves. And it feels like a dead thing in the pit of my belly watching this happen. 5 to 3, you know who the usual suspects are. You know who thought that Exxon was the aggrieved party in all of this, abused by those nasty plaintiffs. Sure you do. It was Scalia. It was Roberts. It was Slappy Thomas. Yeah. It was, I believe, even Souter. And it's weird. I go to news websites. And it's hard to find the story. It happened today and it's already gone. Because, well, Exxon doesn't want anybody paying too much attention to all of this. For instance, the MSNBC news website. World leaders lash out at Mugabe. Video: Nader says Obama talks white. Oh, shut up, Ralph. Slides and seepages confound flood fighters. Report: climate change impacts security. Duh. Britain convicted of killing wife, daughter. States file lawsuits against countrywide. 11 missing hikers found alive at a store. The news editor at MSN.com doesn't think that the Exxon verdict rates higher than Britain convicted of killing wife, daughter, or 11 missing hikers found alive at a store. And you wonder? No, you don't wonder. You know. Why the for-profit media are a dead thing. Okay, so that was just the general news headlines. Okay, well, okay, maybe it's in U.S. world and politics. Death penalty for child rape rejected. What'd I tell you? Britain convicted of killing wife, daughter. Brothel bus makes last stop. World condemnation of Zimbabwe grows. Mexican drug war alarming U.S. officials. 11 missing hikers found. Iraq blast killed 3 U.S. troops. Okay, so it wasn't U.S. world and politics. Here, click. Let's try business. Stocks end slightly up after Fed decision. Fed decision, my ass. It probably had everything to do with the Exxon decision. Hey, guys, we can get away with murder! Eyeing inflation, Fed ends 9-month run of cuts. House okays alternative minimum tax relief. Buffett warns that recession getting worse. And tonight on from our obvious news correspondent, New York town copes with foreclosure fallout. Honda Clarity's future still looks murky. States file lawsuit against countrywide. Entertainment? No. Health? No. No, it's not in tech and science either. Battle of the barbecues, Kansas City versus Texas. All right. That was MSNBC. CNN. Now, see, tell me if I'm wrong, okay? I mean, you're free to disagree with me. Is this an important story? Is this the poster child story for the subjugation of the American people to its corporate ownership and its corporate masters? You're damn right it is. But at CNN, lead story. A guy with something written on the back of his T-shirt. I survived the great flood of 2008, Winfield, Missouri. Headline: crumbling levee protects Missouri town. Latest news: Britain guilty of murdering wife, baby in U.S. Hundreds arrested in child sex crackdown. Missing hikers found. Everyone's fine. What the Fed decision means for you. Iran says time running out over nuke issue. Anderson Cooper, Zimbabwe crisis sickening. Thanks, Anderson. Ticker, Clinton backer says he would take VP job. Nader says Obama using white guilt. Cops seek help in caught on tape shooting. Team facing tough odds. I touch books now. Man convicted of killing Curious George writer. Judge to feds. Give dishwasher some cash back. Key fossil of primitive creature found. Dubai revolving skyscraper unveiled. Kanye West, I'm most offended I've ever been. Trash lined streets in Naples, Italy. Gas price war leaves buyers smiling. BMW launched at U.S. via viral video. Police release tape of fatal club stampede. Oh, by the way, the last thing on CNN's list. Surveillance bill filibuster fails. An effort to block a wide-ranging overhaul of U.S. wiretapping laws failed in the Senate on Wednesday, with opponents mustering only 15 votes against the bill in a procedural vote. Language that appears likely to let telecommunications companies escape lawsuits over the Bush administration's warrantless surveillance program drew sharp opposition from liberal Democrats such as Wisconsin Senator Russ Feingold. Feingold said the bill would be a get-out-of-jail-free card for companies that went along with a program critics say was illegal and would give the government sweeping powers to spy on Americans. This legislation is going to be remembered as the legislation in which Congress granted the executive branch the power to sweep up all of our international communications with very few controls or oversight, he said. But 80 senators, including most Democrats, joined Republicans in voting the bill to move the bill forward, well beyond the 60 needed to break the threat of a filibuster. Sell out sons of bitches. Self-made. I'm amazed. Not a word. It's gone. It's down the memory hole. It's forgotten because it didn't matter. Because Exxon's right to do anything that it needs to do or deems it needs to do, up to and including the destruction of significant portions of the American landscape, killing American wildlife, destroying American wildlife habitat and sanctuary, destroying American working people's livelihoods, and destroying their homes, and destroying their very lives themselves. It's all okay! As long as Exxon gets to keep putting the wood to us. By God, Mabel, that makes me so mad. I want to get in the Cadillac Escalade and drive down to the drive somewhere and not buy gas at Exxon. Oh, Jesus, to the phones. No, doggone it. There I go. I said, you know, I won't keep you on hold, but I was in mid blather, and I did, and I'm sorry. So we got a twofer tonight. ELO has gone and found the list of the patriots. People, the senators opposing the FISA sellout: Biden, Boxer, Sherrod Brown, Maria Cantwell, Christopher Dodd, Dick Durbin, Russ Feingold, Harkin, Kerry, Lautenberg, Leahy, Menendez, God bless you, Flying Spaghetti Monster bless you, Bernie Sanders, Chuck Schumer, and Ron Wyden. Curiously missing from that list Senator Barack Obama. Didn't vote at all. He was busy campaigning. God, 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 God. And I don't know, was the fix in? Are you as cynical as me? Do you realize that it was okay for those 15 to do what they did because they knew that they were going to lose and that some sort of show was put up on behalf of the Democratic Party since there were no Republicans in that list? Sanders is technically an independent. That's where my cynicism has taken me. But no, Joe Biden may be a sellout to the credit card industry, but by God, he's not a sellout to the telecoms. Barbara Boxer, granted, she went and campaigned for Joe Lieberman against Ned Lamont, but she's not going to sell out to the telecoms. Sherrod Brown might be actually a pretty good guy. He has been so far in large part. Maria Cantwell, Chris Dodd, Dick Durbin, no gripes with him. Russ Feingold, Harkin, he's been a good liberal for as long as he's been in the Senate. John Kerry, same. Frank Lautenberg, Leahy, Bernie Sanders. If we had an entire Democratic Senate made up of Bernie Sanderses, the damn Republicans would be afraid to show up in the chamber for the ass-beating that they would get just for appearing. Let's look at some email real quick. Something to remember, says our buddy David in Tennessee, that spill killed, stopped, eliminated the herring runs in Prince George Sound. Nevermore. They're just gone. Gone forever. Today's judgment means that the 30-year-old that should have had a living for a lifetime fishing herring gets $15,000. At 30, he lost his income. For two decades, he's dealt with a way of life ruined. These years later, he gets 15 large, but ExxonMobil continues to post record profits. Say it again, record profits. Case closed. Sorry, I don't mean to be such a bummer. I guess I just am. So, you know, there are some details inside the case that, you know how I am with doing math. I can't be, my answers, my results cannot be relied upon. But still, I sort of did it in my head earlier today, and I figured it out. Let's see, how many million gallons were spilled? 11 million gallons were spilled into Prince William Sound. Now, 500 million is the punitive damages penalty. So I think I worked it out where it roughly winds up to being $50 per million gallons dumped, or less than. That's a bargain no matter how you calculate it. Justice David Souter wrote the majority opinion. You know, he's the one that the so-called conservatives just hate because they said that, you know, George H.W. Bush got fished when he selected him because he turned out to be a stealth liberal. Souter wrote that the punitive damages award against Exxon was excessive as a matter of maritime common law. In the circumstances of this case, the award should be limited to an amount equal to compensatory damages. Brian O'Neill was one of the lead attorneys for the plaintiffs in the case. He said, I prefer to think of it as five of the justices on the Supreme Court going out of their way to help big business. This is a huge favor for big business. That's what it is. They don't feel punished at all by this. It isn't even a mosquito bite. They're laughing. On the other hand, Rex Tillerson is the chairman and chief executive officer of Exxon, and he issued a short statement that said the company continues to regret the accident. We know this has been a very difficult time for everyone involved. We have worked hard over many years to address the impacts of the spill and to prevent such accidents from happening in our company again. Just amazing. Amazing. Justice in America. Kind of, depressing. It just is. 5-3. It makes my liver quiver. So we'll take a break. Perfect song for it. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn.
Oh, the engine's gone dead, cried the men who were there. And she passed up the dock on the wide Delaware. Then the ship ran aground and the oil got away. And they did not report the big spill on that day. It was hundreds of thousands of gallons galore, stretching 32 miles down the Delaware shore. There were geese in the marshes out looking for food. They got stuck where they stood in the oncoming crew. Come on down to the shoreline where the water used to be. In the well-charted waters of the Nantucket shores was a ship run aground full of oil, we were told. In a week's worth of rough winter weather and waves, the boat started cracking and it could not be saved. It was 7.6 million gallons this time. Consider the danger and think of the crime as it poured out a slick stretching into the tide. Over 100 miles, yes, it came deep, it came wide. Come on down to the shoreline where the water used to be. There's talk of some writing found in the ship's log, saying one of the helmsman's unfit for his job. And the ship's gyro compass was 6 degrees shy. Their charts were outdated, but they tried to get by, and you know it's oil. You can have it now for free. Just come on down to the shoreline where the water used to be. Yeah. in through Liberian doors. Inspections are quick and regulations are few. Just sign on the line and go find you a crew. Yes, one of these ships was the Olympic Games. The Argo Merchant was the other one's name. Well, it's sad, but it's true. Things got worse for the sea. I ain't even mentioned Amoco Cadiz. Amoco Cadiz, between England and France. The big super tanker out there taking its chance. With his 100,000 black tons of the slime, Amoco Cadiz spilled the most of all times. Yes, you know it's come on down to the shoreline where the water used to be. Now down in the Gulf, east of Mexico way, there's something gone wrong, so the papers all say. And Mexican oil well is leaking its goo. They say it's the worst that things have ever come to. Yes, it's gallons of sludge, 60 million and more. It's cruising and losing towards many a shore. Yes, things have got bad, but they'll probably get worse. If you can't drink the oil, oh, you might die of thirst. Because it's oil, it's oil, and it's creeping in the sea. Oil, oil, don't buy it at the station. You can have it now for free. Just come on down to the shoreline where the water used to be. Yeah!
You know, you can gauge the effectiveness of the right-wing swill machine by looking not at right-wing blogs or left-wing blogs, because people with a certain inclination go there. But I love the blog posts under news stories. And I just want to share a little bit of this with you. This is from the McClatchy story. For years, right-wingers, Republicans running for office, the United States Chamber of Commerce. Hell, the United States Chamber of Commerce calls West Virginia a judicial hellhole because we occasionally used to award jury verdicts against corporations. And there's this beautiful, beautiful little stunningly honest statement, stunning because it comes from, you know, a defense lawyer. The chief litigation counsel for the United States Chamber of Commerce is a rotten, filthy rat bastard by the name of Amar Sarwal. And he says, we see this as a very big victory, principally because we think that the court understands our concerns. Brother, you said a mouthful. But it's down a little ways in the blog comments where you get an idea of how much the big lie, you know, straight out of the Nazi handbook, has taken root in America. Now, if you survey Americans on basic social issues, you will find that Americans are, by and large, far more liberal. And as I noted last night, they are far more liberal than any right-winger ever dares to admit, and that is why they have to sit on the air day after day saying, my friends, America is a conservative Christian nation. Because we're not. But they have to repeat it time after time after time after time out of hope that eventually we'll start believing it. And some have. And this is the thing, they're very good at being really noisy with their opinions.
given the reality that more oil seeps up from the seafloor naturally than 1,000 Exxon Valdez tankers every year, it is a breath of fresh air to see this ruling. Maybe someday we'll find an energy source that has a greater efficiency BTU per dollar and portability greater than crude oil. In the meantime, no nation can compete with those that use crude oil. Hydrogen takes more energy to extract than oil. Battery stored electricity power is less efficient. Atomic energy is not portable. Solar energy is not cost efficient. Wind energy is not portable. And then there's another idiot. A drunk captain caused the spill. Exxon should not be held liable for his actions. Sue him. Oh, I guess that isn't where the money is for you ambulance chasers. Do you realize that this Supreme Court decision was based on a holding from 1818? That is how deep the Exxon Litigation Council were able to dig. And God only knows what Exxon paid to defend this. They probably spent $1 billion trying to keep from paying one, or trying to keep from paying five. It's not unusual. Now, it was based on an 1818, the decision was based on an 1818 court decision that says ship owners aren't liable for punitive damages for the actions of their agents at sea unless they're complicit in their behavior. And how in heaven's name was Exxon not complicit in the behavior of the ship captain, of the ship designer, of the ship manufacturer? They owned the ship. But that's how far they had to dig to weasel their way out of this. Justice Souter wrote, "In many instances, a high ratio of punitive to compensatory damages is substantially greater than necessary to punish or deter. The real problem, it seems, is the stark unpredictability of punitive awards." You dumbass Souter. They're not unpredictable. The jury was competently instructed that if it wished to impose punitive damages, they should be sufficient, and they had the financial data in front of them, the jury did. It should be sufficient to punish the corporation and make it feel it and try to prevent it from happening again. This is nothing but the wholesale rape of the United States judicial system and our entire history of jurisprudence. And it's already gone from most of the news websites. Then there's another right-winger who says that holding Exxon liable for what it did to the Alaskan shoreline, great idea. Then the oil and someone who said that the oil companies should be nationalized, well, that's a great idea. Then the oil companies will be run as well as FEMA or your local driver license office. I'm guessing this is a joke because nobody can be this stupid. Wait a minute, Forrest Gump's coming into my head. Stupid is as stupid does. And this moron doesn't understand that there are all kinds of private, all kinds of nationalized oil companies all over the globe that are serving citizens of their countries and making outrageous profits, doing just fine. And the head men are not exactly in the soup line. They run as well as FEMA. Hey, dumbass, who was running FEMA when Katrina came ashore?
FEMA was running pretty well back in the 90s. Jiminy. This hurts. This just hurts. And the excuse making. But that is the measure. That is the measure of the success that the right wing has had in convincing some portion of the American public, some portion particularly of the American electorate, to voluntarily screw itself. Sort of like that guy that Cheney shot in the face, apologizing to Cheney for getting his face in the way of his shotgun blast. That's America, too. Oh, wait, you mean you designed the automobile knowing that if it was struck from the rear, it would blow up and kill my family? I'm sorry I sued you. Will you ever forgive me? Let's go to the phones. Hi, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
Hey, David.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
I'm listening to you talk about oil, and I was just on the phone with my friend, my conservative friend, and I tried to get him to listen to Head On, but he's too cheap to buy a real computer, but that's another story. I guess the stream wasn't working properly for him or something, because he has, like, a computer from, like, 1998 or something.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I know, and it really is kind of sad. But he said, I told him about the ruling on the Supreme Court, and he was like, this was his answer. And the problem is a lot of people don't understand, but he's one of them. He's like, so they didn't get the $2.5 million, but they had to get paid $500 million? That's a bit excessive.
The American people have learned. Yeah, this is all self-loathing, David.
I know, but you know, Bob, I want to make this to a broader point, that the reason why this keeps happening again and again and again is because most people, I think it has to do with a fear factor with if it somehow affects and hinders our lifestyle and our daily our daily day-to-day schedule, we won't stand out on the line and just shut this country down for as long as we can take it. So this is why it keeps happening over and over and over again like this. And I guess what it comes down to, Bob, is the truth is, if we want true action in this country, it's going to take more than just with signs, and it's going to take more than just phone calls, and it's going to take more than just going into your city council. It's also going to take this amount of sacrifice that I don't think we're even accustomed to yet. I mean, I can think of a number, but then probably in my head I would have to triple or quadruple it because of the inaction of people. And I'm just going from a reaction of what I see, what gets the most attention for story wise and for media wise. And I think that's where the problem lies. That the truth, we're not telling people the real truth. The truth is that some people may have cardiac arrest from all the work that they're going to be doing, even if they're in their 20s. You might be going into the mental hospital, and that's the problem. We say, well, you just got to do this, then you do that, and we're on the right track, but it's a stamina issue, really. It really is, Bob. It's a big stamina issue that this country faces.
So, and I don't. I guess you know, if the lawyers for the plaintiffs had suggested that every one of the 30 some odd thousand plaintiffs surround the Supreme Court building at the time of the argument and at the time of the decision, I guess that wouldn't have been good for them. But that's what should have happened.
Yeah, and also, you know what, Bob? Also, what should have happened was the day that we need to really be a little bit respond a lot faster when something happens, and that's why we pretty much need to study a lot of these how these sound machines work, and we're gonna have to play that game, and we're starting to learn that. But wow, is it ever gonna be a climb to get to the level of what the current right wing is, and to tell people Well, and to give people a clearer picture of this is what we want. It's not socialism. It's, you know, it's a picture of this. One thing I can recommend to people is Tom Hartmann is having a great discussion of how people live in Denmark this week because he's over in Denmark doing a radio show. And he's talking to a lot of people on the ground, a lot of people in businesses and industry. And what's great about this is they're not sugarcoating anything. They tell you the disadvantages of living in Denmark, and they tell you the advantages of it. And it really does paint a clearer picture of what we have to do in this country if we want to live like they do in Denmark. And it really does require, Bob, it really does require more sacrifice than we realize, especially now because the clock is ticking against us. And that's really what it comes down to, Bob. You know, we have to tell people that there's going to be some serious sacrifices that are probably going to put you in physically and emotional pain, and we can't sugarcoat this anymore because it's all good to have a expression like "Yes, we can," but it really does come down to telling the truth on this matter. It's not just going to take showing up at rallies, and it's going to take something that probably a lot of us aren't prepared for. And then that gives me then I'm back to what then? Well, I guess what we have to do is just continue taking those steps and hoping for the best in that regard. But yeah, it does seem like that this is a uphill battle that most of America will probably not be able to keep up the pace.
That's a grim outlook, but I think there's truth in what you say, David. But it's more than just the outrage over what happened in the past with regard to this Exxon case.
Yeah,
it is a cautionary tale for the future. You know, this is if there was anybody who was on the fence about drilling in Anwar, this ought to end that, because what we see now is that if there is a disastrous spill as a result of drilling in Anwar, that it won't be properly cleaned up, and that the oil companies involved will drag it out for literally decades. I mean, it has taken 20 years to get from the jury to the Supreme Court of the United States with this case.
Yeah.
They'll drag it out for decades. People will, lives, livelihoods, and communities will be destroyed, and in the end, the oil company will get away with literally murder. I wasn't predisposed to drilling in Anwar, but that really, really puts the cap on it for me, if you know what I mean.
Well, I think this is a lesson to be learned, and I hope people understand this, that there needs to be, I would have a one strike and you're out tolerance policy on this across the board, just because it's too much to risk on all levels. But at the same time, you know, I think the reason why a lot of people aren't so outraged by that is because what usually happens is somehow they paint that you're not able to live without your creature conveniences, your day-to-day iPods, your gadgets, all of that, and so you better stand up to the corporations. And I think there is a little bit of intimidation on the parts of the corporations, and I think that's why a lot of people, for some reason, you know what it is, Bob? And this is the same thing that I had to talk with conservatives. He thinks he's part of that culture in a positive way, but he's not, and his family isn't, but it doesn't matter because that's how he processes that in his mind. And I see liberals acting that way too when it comes to conveniences, and again, Bob, it really does come down to, well, you know, until we get an infrastructure built, we're probably going to have to do some revolutionary protests. I mean, there's no ifs.
Well, that's what I was talking about with every one of the plaintiffs surrounding the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, frankly, you know, because the lawyers work in this rarefied atmosphere where everybody calls him, hey, buddy, how you doing, friend? And everybody's civil, and nobody goes after anybody with baseball bats, and everybody defers and says, Your Honor, and may it please the court, and Your Eminence, may I kiss the ring, inside the judicial process, because the theory behind that is that it helps to stem the tide of social mayhem. You know, the very origins of the Anglo-English judicial system lie in the fact that there had to be a better way of making decisions besides trial by combat and dipping people in water to see if they float.
Mm-hmm. I think it has to do with when you say the 30,000 plaintiffs need to surround the court, you know what they would say to you, Bob? It's programmed. We're so programmed in this regard. They would say, oh, but I have to work.
Well, that's the one place that this is a little bit different, because a whole bunch of the people whose lives were destroyed, like our buddy David in Tennessee said, their lives were fishing for fish that don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And unemployment is rampant up through there. So yeah, most of America would say, well, you know, I can't go to a sit-in around the Capitol for the next 30 days. They'll take my boat.
Yeah.
Or they'll take my house. Or they'll fire me. Yeah, I understand all of that. And frankly, the heart and soul of something like the Vietnam protest movement centered around people who, among other things, were students whose fat was truly in the fire and whose only recourse to not getting slaughtered in the jungle was to try to end the damn thing because they were subject to being drafted. You know, when Ferg and I went up for the little middle school medical seminar last week, one of the dormitory towers in the complex there where we stayed is called Bennett Tower, and it's named after Tommy Bennett, who was only the second American ever to receive the Congressional Medal of Honor, who was a conscientious objector, and he got chewed to pieces in Vietnam because he was busy saving his fellow soldiers. And that's the true definition of heroism. He was a medic. He refused to carry a gun, all of that stuff. But he had a real promising career at WVU that, you know, the federal government really didn't give much of a damn about, because he wasn't rich like a Bush, and he wasn't a slimy, slithering son of a bitch like Dick Cheney, and he couldn't weasel his way out with any more deferments. And so instead, he's dead. He's dead these 30 years, and he's got a dormitory named after him and a bridge.
Hmm.
Hot diggity.
We have to continue on with trying to connect with the youth, and I think that's another problem. Part of our dilemma is how do you get the youth motivated and engaged? And my theory is that I think there's so many distractions that there has to be a cataclysmic event that stops those distractions dead cold in their tracks, and then that's when people will be motivated for
Well, the name of the cataclysmic event is a draft.
Yeah, that might be coming.
So
do you see it coming if we attack Iran?
If we attack Iran and they try to put boots on the ground in Iran or occupy Iran for purposes of pacification, it's almost impossible to do otherwise, because we're fresh out of army.
Well, Bob, it seems like a lot of tough choices and not that many rewards on our part. So I don't really have an answer for this. No, I guess that's the dilemma we all face.
Yeah, and I don't think any of us do. You know, short of surrounding the Supreme Court to let them know that, you know, hey, you nine bastards have to leave the building sooner or later.
Well, you know, all I can say, Bob, is I think questions are worth something. At least they lead something else. They lead you to somewhere else. You might not get the answer, but you might figure out ways to prevent it and ways to remedy it, and it all comes back to not completely, just temporarily. I don't really foresee a lot of great things for the human civilization when it comes to where we currently are right now.
Well, and more to the point, American civilization, don't you think?
Yeah, American civilization.
Because...
Well, Bob, I'm going to let you go.
All right, David, take care. Thanks for your input. I appreciate
it. Yeah. All right, later.
Talk to you later. Pop culture correspondent David from Maine with some trenchant observations. And he identifies the basic problem. And it's one that I've mentioned time and time and time again. America has been enslaved with, you know, leopard print velvet lined handcuffs. We love our TVs. We love our above ground swimming pools. We love the new double wide. Hell, we love the old house that we're still making payments on. We love the new truck. We love the old truck. We love our stuff. How ironic that George Carlin would pass this week, a man who said we've got too much stuff. Our stuff and the way we get our stuff owns us. And as a consequence, we won't be going to any protests. So we'll take a little break and we'll come back. Listen, chime in if you want to. You're more than welcome. This is America's liberal voice. America's listener-supported liberal voice. And Lord knows we need the support. This is The Horn.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
Well, you'll be glad to know that I'm not the only guy who's mad at... Well, no. Wait, no, I'm not, I can't do that to you. It's about 14 and a half minutes past the hour. And I want to share something with you as sort of an example of just how sick and twisted and, frankly, bubble off plum and misguided and, you know, watching the little birdie in the left hand while their pocket gets picked with the right wing is. And as our poster child for this little evidentiary exposition, I offer you Michael the Savage Wiener, the number three hottest talker in America, millionaire, who reaches 300 radio stations or something like that, who gets paid for just saying outrageous crap. Recently, he was discussing the case of a couple of students in Florida who were on trial on charges that they provided material aid to terrorists. And he took a call. He took a call from someone who wanted to, this was June 18th. And let's let it speak for itself.
Now, I want to ask you something. They find two Egyptians with pipe bombs. They get a lawyer, a shyster lawyer, a girl lawyer, who says that they were only fireworks. And then she says nobody was actually harmed from the video they made on how to blow people up and kill them. I'm asking you, should they be... I got to stop right here, because if it was up to me, I would execute them and I'd execute the lawyer. How's that? I'd execute any lawyer who would do this to this country in a time like this. I'd hang her. I'd hang her. I'd hang her for aiding and abetting terrorism. Don't tell me they're entitled to a rational defense. I'm so sick of this. I could rip my desk and it's made of iron. I feel like Superman right now. I could take my hands and break my desk. That's how enraged I am today. I'm choked up with anger. Sacramento, Phyllis, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi.
And, you know, we've come to expect this kind of filth out of a Savage Wiener. Because he's a martinet. He's a gas bag. He is, as Shakespeare said, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. And this is the kind of, you know, this is the kind of crap that he doles out, that his little right-wing, knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing faithful just eats for lunch. But it is not what he says where you do the learning. The learning comes from listening to his pathetic, brainwashed followers, listeners. You can't call what they're doing listening. Listening involves brain activity. Ain't none of that going on among the people who think that the Savage Wiener is their kind of guy. So let's check in on Phyllis.
Hi, Michael. Listen, I guess Muhammad there and Ahmed wanted to celebrate 4th of July.
Yeah, that's why they had a pipe bomb, and their lawyer said they were firecrackers. I tell you, I'd hang the lawyer. If I ran this country, I'd hang the lawyer. I would try her for aiding and abetting terrorism. I'd hang her, and I'd hang every lawyer who went down to Guantanamo to defend those murderers. 200 rats ran out of New York and Boston to defend these people who would hang them and spit in their face. These guys hate Jews. They would kill Jews, and half of the lawyers were Jews. Explain this to me.
Okay, Michael, I'll be happy to, buddy. See, once upon a time, there was a man named John Adams. And John Adams was a up-and-coming lawyer in Boston. He was a farmer out in the countryside as well. He was a multitasker. And there was a little dust-up with some soldiers, some British soldiers, who were garrisoned in Boston, when some unruly members of the local populace, who were itching for a fight, stirred up a little more trouble than they could handle. And the British soldiers fired on the locals. And killed some of them, wounded others. And they set about to try the soldiers there in Boston. But they, while they were intent on giving them a nice fair trial and then hanging them, they did recognize that, you know, there had to be some sort of a show trial, sort of like what goes on in Guantanamo. Actually, what would have gone on in Boston, or what went on in Boston, was far more decent and fair than what goes on in Guantanamo, because you can't tell, you can't call what goes on in Guantanamo a fair trial. But the problem was, they needed to find some dummy who would come in and throw the case so that they could say that they provided the soldiers a nice fair trial before they hung them, hanged them. Only problem was, they couldn't find any lawyers willing to do it. Finally, they went to John Adams, family man. Not exactly a star on the local scene. And Adams said, yeah, I'll take the case. And he took a bunch, he took a bunch of grief for it. But it turned out that he wasn't willing to just mail in the defense, that he actually intended to defend his clients, who were the most hated people in the colonies at that time, short of maybe slaves. Well, no, they weren't hated so much as just generally disdained now, weren't they? You get the idea. You get the picture. So John Adams provides a zealous defense of the shooters in the Boston Massacre. And lo and behold, he gets them acquitted. And that man went on to become one of the co-authors of the Declaration of Independence. And, in fact, the second president of the United States. But above all, he was a lawyer. And because he was a lawyer, he recognized the fact that he could not claim to live in a civilized society if all those soldiers got was a show trial, a kangaroo court, a mockery of justice. And even against his fellow citizens in Boston, he represented them and saw them acquitted and saw, in fact, justice done. So there's your little history lesson. Savage wiener, stupid punk. But let's go on.
Michael,
you want to let it all hang out? Why do Jewish liberal lawyers run to Guantanamo to defend Muslims who hate them? Can you explain that to me?
No, my father was one of those guys. But I can't.
Well, it's the same as the Jewish lawyers in the ACLU who defended the Nazis who wanted to march in Skokie, Illinois. And you ask the Jewish lawyers, why would you defend Nazis who want to march in Skokie, Illinois? And their answer is, because I believe in freedom. That's not why they did it. Because I learned that one of them, one of the lead attorneys, did it for fame. And nothing but...
I learned. In other words, he made that up one night when he was half-loaded on, you know, some sort of cheap screw-top wine. That's what passes for learning inside the mind of the savage wiener. But you get the idea. Now, there's greater relevance to this story than might at first meet the eye. Because the mindset that this filthy pile of excrescence, the savage wiener, helps to spread around America, well, it's borne fruit. It has had results. His hate has paid off. Yes, it has. Oh, by the way, he works in a gay smear at the end of that diatribe too, saying that the gay president of the University of South Florida brought the Muslim terrorists in so he could have some diversity. He's an equal opportunity hater, the savage wiener. But there are consequences from all of this. This goes back to last week as well. And it's a story I mentioned earlier, but it's worth reiterating in this context. Physicians for Human Rights published a report last week that found that 11 former detainees at Guantanamo showed clear signs of torture in medical examinations after their release from Guantanamo. Why were they released from Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and Afghanistan? They were released from those concentration camp hellholes because it was determined that there was no evidence of them having any connection to so-called terrorism. None. Zero. Zilch. Niente. Nada. Beatings, electric shock, sleep deprivation, sexual humiliation, sodomy, as well as a long laundry list of other abuses, were all perpetrated against these innocent men. It led retired U.S. Army Major General Antonio Taguba to write the foreword to the report in which he said, quote, "There is no longer any doubt that the current administration committed war crimes. The only question is whether those who ordered torture will be held to account." Well, that question, as put to the House of Representatives and Nancy Pelosi, receives a resounding, hell no, they'll not be held to account. We're business partners with them. No, really. The official policy of the United States is now torture first and find out if they're guilty later. And what's more, it turns out that the torture program was put in place long before there were any circumstances calling for its use. You remember the Donald Rumsfeld bad apple comment when Abu Ghraib broke and Lindy England, the poster child for everything that's wrong with this state and this nation, her photo was just blazed around the world with that cigarette hanging off of her lip like some sort of... Careful, Bob. Well, she's a bad apple. It was her fault. Well, it turns out, according to the Washington Post, that the Bush administration laid the foundations for its torture program that included things like waterboarding long before any request or query from field interrogators were put to the administration. Never mind the fact that that proves that the administration's been lying for years on end, which would, in a country that actually had any interest in justice, be prima facie grounds for impeachment? Unless, of course, you live in a country whose Speaker of the House is Nancy Pelosi. The Senate has in its hands, as we speak, evidence that the torture program was initiated. Now, check your calendars. I know a lot of the water's over the dam and under the bridge. But the torture program was conceived and initiated in the summer of 2002. It's incontrovertible. It is not subject to debate. That's when it happened. What is subject to debate, however, is what the Bush administration said. They said they only conceived their torture program after field commanders asked for torture authority months and months and months and months later. In 2006, William J. Haynes II, who was general counsel of the Defense Department under Don Rumsfeld, told the Senate under oath, I believe, that the request for so-called tougher interrogation methods came in October 2002. There's only one problem with that. The evidence that the Senate has shows that Haynes and his buddies in DOD were bouncing around torture ideas in July of 2002. I realize that this story is a little bit old, a little bit stale. I apologize. But it ties in so perfectly with what we're talking about. You know, I don't think the Reverend Wright was that far off. Let's stop with all this God bless America nonsense. And if you're into the religion business, let's get busy with God forgive America. Now, of course, you know, you heard the Savage Wiener there. Well, way down the list from the Savage Wiener is poor little look at me, I've got the lowest rated program on cable TV, I'm even chasing the Ginsu infomercials, Glenn Beck. So Glenn Beck goes on the radio today to talk about the Supreme Court ruling regarding the Gitmo concentration camp prisoners. And he plays this little fantasy mental masturbation game of, what if I got to be president? Now, you've already heard the Savage Wiener. You can guess where this goes.
Joe, I mean, I'm saying this in jest, but it really is that, isn't it? I mean, it's really, it's going down that road, isn't it? Holy cow, Joe just said this decision is frightening when you read the language. This court has done some frightening things. With Guantanamo, again, I got news for you. We're in deep trouble with Guantanamo. We can't do this. We're going to give these guys access to our courts. Let me say something. If I were president of the United States, I would go on national television and say, ladies and gentlemen of America, the Supreme Court said that we don't have Guantanamo, so that is over. We're going to release all of them. But I want you to know from here on out, our policy is to not have prisoners. We're going to shoot them all in the head. If we think that they are against us, we're going to shoot them and kill them. Period. Because that's the only thing we've got going for us, is we can put them away and get information. If we can't put them away and they're going to use our court system, kill them.
Yeah. I wish I'd faked that. I wish I could say, just kidding. I pieced that together from several different Glenn Beck clips to make it sound like he said that. But no, he really, really said that. That is permitted. Come on, juxtapose it. Work with me here. Think about the seven words you can't say on TV that George Carlin enunciated in the 70s and remains true here in the first decade of the 21st century. Think about those words that you can't say on TV, and lay them up side by side with the outrage and obscenity that is the words of Glenn Beck. We're going to shoot them all in the head. If we think that they're against us, we're going to shoot them and kill them, period. Because that's the only thing we've got going for us, is we can put them away and get information. If we can't put them away and they're going to use our court system, kill them. Kill them. Just let those two words sort of go at play inside your cranium. Kill them. 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 Because you see, that's what, because you're not a wing nut and you haven't been hypnotized by the right wing's abuses of the public airwaves, you're not subject to it. But please understand that the people who tune into this filth, this obscenity, this blood-sodden pornography. Those people have that garbage rattling in their skulls 24/7. Kill them. 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 And it comes out on Sunday mornings in the megachurches and out of the mouth of Rod Parsley. We were created for the conflict. We were born for the battle. We get off on warfare. And it's Glenn Beck, and it's Michael Savage, and it's in the churches, and it's Hagee screaming, oh, jeez, it's Hagee, that filthy, filthy Hagee, it's Hagee screaming.
We've rewarded laziness and called it welfare. You no longer look to God, you look for a check in the mail. In the Bible says the man that does not work should not eat. I still think that ought to be the law in the United States of America. If you don't want to get up off your blessed assurance and go to work, starve! I don't care. Starve. I don't feel sorry for you. Go to work.
Yeah. And so, you know, we get a little disdainful on this program from time to time, and I should be ashamed of that, and I apologize for it, talking about the rest of America that isn't involved in this conversation, that isn't seriously considering what it means to be an American citizen. And we say, you know, they watch American Idol, Baby, they don't watch American Idol. American Idol ain't on 24 hours a day. But you know what? Pastor Hagee is. Pastor Parsley is. Glenn Beck is on for 3 hours a day on the radio and an hour or two at night on CNN Headline News for reasons known but to God and the CEO of Headline News. What was the number? 2,570? Was it 5,720? For every single hour in this country of something approaching liberal or compassionate or humane or progressive talk on the radio, there is 2,570 hours of starve and kill them! And I'd kill that lawyer, that girly shyster lawyer, and I'd kill all the lawyers, the Jew lawyers what went down to Guantanamo because they wanted just to get famous. These are the same people who look at the Exxon that Valdez decision today and say, well, that sounds like justice to me, Ruth. That's the America you live in. It's the America that Agnes and I are raising children in. That is the daily struggle that we all face. And if we are silent in the face of that kind of filth and that kind of obscenity and that kind of pornography and that kind of garbage, we are complicit in it. I am, you are, we are. Silence is acceptance. It just is. Kill them. Kill them. Kill them. Merciful God, how can we expect mercy from God if you happen to believe in Him? When people like this are on the airwaves screaming for the murder of people who have committed no crime, screaming, screaming, screaming 2,570 hours a day for slaughter, and we would implore Almighty God for mercy. Almighty God, forgive us for asking the question. To the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
Hey, it's Nick.
Yeah, hey, what's up, Nick?
Man, I heard you talking about Glenn Beck. I couldn't keep my mouth shut.
Good, don't. The sooner all of us learn not to keep our mouth shut about punks like him and the Savage Wiener, the sooner that they can be nullified.
The Savage Wiener, that's funny. Man, I tell you, I've been on a major kick about him for the past week. He was being interviewed about a week, maybe a week and a half ago, and they were talking to him about the candidates, and he was saying that he didn't feel like he had a candidate that he could vote for, because he was saying that his voice is the voice of dissent in America. How do you like that?
Doc tells me I can't drink right now. But I don't know how you can hear that and not just, you know, upend the bottle.
Oh, man. Oh, it went through me like a bolt of lightning. I couldn't believe that this guy was actually sitting there claiming that his voice is the voice of dissent in America. And then to hear the clip you played, man, I'm just...
Yeah, it's tough to swallow, and sometimes I feel bad about playing that stuff, Nick, but, you know, daggum. Somebody... we can't just sit here in our little echo chamber nodding at one another and thinking that, you know, everything's okay. Because this really is, this is the stuff, you know, we don't hear it, we don't listen to it, we don't support it or facilitate it or encourage or enable it. But we got millions of fellow Americans who do.
Yeah. And, you know, we don't listen to it. I mean, but, you know, there's an extent to which, you know, people like you and I who kind of, you know, agree with the idea of, you know your enemy, if you will, and pay attention to what's being said out there, because those things are being taken as the truth to a lot of people. And that mindset is the little seed that grows and spreads in the hearts and minds of people. You know, and when I hear Glenn Beck say that, you know, we need, you know, shoot him in the head, I'm like, are you serious? You know?
But yeah, did they not understand who they're sounding like?
Oh, no.
I mean, history has some fairly recent examples of people and governments and militaries and that engaged in that kind of conduct.
I know, man.
And we hanged their leaders for doing it.
We do. You know, there are truths, there are universal truths out there that are so hard to hang on to, you know. Little things like, you know, all men are created equal. You know,
just
the ideas of, you know, people, I don't know, man. That is just so extreme, such an extreme thought. You know, I mean, the actions are extreme, but, you know, how we choose to, you know, hand out what we think or try to tell ourselves is justice is, you know, that's a complicated situation, man. But to just go off and say, shoot him in the head, that's, I mean, I can't believe he gets to sit on, you know, mainstream, well, I can, but sit on mainstream, you know, news programs and radio and be able to say something like, we should shoot him in the head. That's outrageous.
And of course, there's no, because of the nature of the medium, Nick, no one is allowed to gainsay him. Nobody's going to make it onto his radio show to tell him that he is just a blood-sodden psychopath.
And isn't that horrible? I mean, is that America? You know what I mean?
That's the America that they're hell-bent, and I mean hell-bent, on creating, Nick.
They are. They are. What's sad is, you know, I do tune into Glenn Beck's show periodically because I flip through all the news programs. And just last night or the night before, he has Ben Stein on his show, which I'm sure you're aware of from time to time.
Oh, Lord.
And, you know, this is how crappy this guy's show is. You know, he goes from saying things like the clips you played to, you know, one of his main stories is how many cats Ben Stein has. Like, there's so many other important things to talk about and be discussed and not be exaggerated.
But see, that's part of the shtick, Nick. Okay, I guess he said that on his radio show, but were you watching his TV show last night? He was talking about kitty cats. So, we talk about what goes on in the concentration camp in Guantanamo and Bagram Air Base and everything. But for the love of God, there is mental torture going on in America, and these people are participating in it. They're not participating in it. They're actively, they are perpetrating it.
Psychological warfare.
Yeah, it is. And the sooner we wake up and realize it, the better off we are.
Yeah.
But, you know, this stuff is so ubiquitous. I wasn't kidding. It's either 2,570 hours of right-wing filth for every single hour of something like this.
Yeah.
And so, and you've seen it. How many times have you walked into a doctor's office or some sort of, you know, office somewhere, and there's a TV hanging on a shelf in the corner? What's it tuned to? Fox.
Fox. It's tuned to Fox News. I went in a Tudor's Biscuit World and grabbed some breakfast, and, you know, everybody was glued to the Fox News.
Well, that's because their biscuits are made out of glue, so you'll have to find another example. Sorry. That's an inside joke. People outside West Virginia don't know about Tudor's Biscuit World, and they're the luckier for it.
They are. They really are. I'm almost ashamed that I said I went there.
Yeah, my dad used to joke, you know, they had their two-egg breakfast special, you know, two eggs any way you want them, toast, you know, biscuit, whatever.
Right.
And he said, that ain't two eggs. That's not two chicken. That's two bandy eggs. That's two pigeon eggs, because they're just these little itty-bitty tiny things. It's pathetic. But, you know, all kidding aside, that is how you anesthetize a people to torture. It's how you anesthetize a people to the concept of wholesale slaughter. And I know it just drives the right wing crazy, and they, well, you know, it's no fair comparing him to Hitler. There was nobody like Hitler. Look, George Bush has done 1/6 of the number of human beings. He's done 1/6 Muslims of what Hitler did Jews. Okay, he's in the ballpark now. It you know, it's a 6-1 ball game, and Hitler's up. But you know, we're not even into the fourth inning. We haven't even done the full body count yet.
Which is just insane, because the situation over there, if, you know, people out there have been paying attention, they know that, you know, the suicide rates have surpassed Vietnam, and, you know, so many guys over there are being prescribed all these different types of depression medication. I mean, of course, war is going to inspire some trauma, I'm sure, but it's, you know, it's just crazy to think of all of the things that are actually happening right now.
And it causes a certain amount of cognitive dissonance, I think.
Sure.
Because on our side, we tend to just look back. And, I mean, you look at a number like 2,570 hours, and you go, how the hell do we fight that?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're fighting it right now, Nick.
I am. You know, there was a great quote that I saw the other day. You know, and I took this to heart, very much so. And, you know, I feel this applies to people, you know, like you as well, Bob. There, can't remember who said it, but there was the quote that said, "There's just as much patriotism in defending your country as at home as there is abroad." You know, and people need to heed that call and realize that we are in dire times, some of the most dire times that man has ever seen.
It goes back to that stuff that was written at the time of the Revolution. You know, these are the times that try men's souls, and now is the time for all good people to come to the aid of their country.
Well, I mean, you know, and you guys were talking about, you know, the protesters earlier, and you were talking about, you know, revolutionary protest scale. You know, why do you think that people, you know, don't get up and go out and do something, man?
Because, like I said, we've got MasterCard payments. We've got Visa payments. We've got rotating credit from Walmart paying for the Chinese TV that we've got.
That's right.
Our bonds are light, but their tensile strength is profound.
That's it. You know, I was having this conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and I was like, you know, we can't even compare the time. And, you know, I was like, and part of the reason is because number one is right now there is, you know, X amount of times of misinformation that's pumped to the people. There is so much else to be distracted by, you know, especially, you know, the youth. I mean, I work with a lot of, you know, college kids and youth, you know, people that are involved in movements, but, you know, especially when they can, you know, turn on their Xbox and pretend like nothing exists. You know what I mean?
Sure.
there's a lot more to be distracted and to take on, to just pretend like, oh, it's, you know, it's not happening in my backyard. It won't affect me.
And yet the survey data, Nick, of that demographic that you're talking about indicates that younger Americans are appalled by this stuff.
Yeah.
But while they are appalled, they are also actively being disenfranchised and disempowered and distracted.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. I see it all the time.
I mean, you know, I see that the young people who come for internships or Mountain Justice Summer or whatever to learn about Coal River Mountain Watch's mission, things like that, that's a special breed of human being, and those are people who have had their switch flipped to the on position.
They are.
They are aware, they are active, they are activist, and they are dedicated, they are committed, and they're concerned. And I don't worry about an America that is that has those people in its future.
No.
It's the relatively small numbers of those people, at least as we can count them, that is cause for concern. So, yeah. Oh, by the way, are you going to Kayford for the 4th of July thing?
I will be there. I will be there.
I've got to get directions. I'm bringing the whole fam family, so I've made an absolute commitment to that. So I'm looking forward to seeing you.
No, definitely. That'll be excellent.
And, in fact, I had a call here at the studio a couple of days ago from someone who, I guess, saw the references to Coal River on the web or something and called here trying to get – they're coming from Massachusetts.
Nice.
To Kayford Mountain. So
nice.
I hope they got directions, and I look forward to meeting them, too. This should be an amazing celebration.
I hope so, man. It's a double celebration, you know, Larry's, you know, tying the knot, and plus the annual festivities. It's going to be a good time.
I was thinking about doing something really geeky, Nick. Tell me what you think.
All right.
I think, and it's something I do here every year, whether I'm standing on the front porch just yelling it to the neighborhood or wherever. I think we need an official reading of the Declaration of Independence.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. You can't, there's so many people in the country today that cannot tell you anything. I mean, really cannot tell you the majority of the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the United States Constitution.
And that's the failing of the teaching of civics in this country. A lot of people get past, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. And then you say, well, what else is in there? And they freedom of religion. And you just kind of put your little head and your little hands and you say, yeah, we're screwed. We're just screwed.
Yeah.
But if Larry will let me, I think we should have a reading of the Declaration of Independence.
I don't think Larry would object to that at all.
Not because I'm an egomaniac or anything, but I think that the whole thing needs to be read from time to time.
And, you know, it's the appropriate holiday. I mean, I don't see any objections to that at all. If I heard a voice that said they would be against it, I would probably be shocked, truthfully.
Well, I'll print up a copy and print big enough that I can see it. And
I definitely don't think it's geeky, Bob, because I think that those articles are, you know, are testaments that need to be known by heart by people who live in this country so they know what those you know, men that fought for those ideas and wrote them down. They know, you know, what, you know, the role that, you know, John Adams and Benjamin Franklin had to play. I mean, that's an essential part of the reason that this place is known as America and the reason why it functions the way it does up until, you know, and it just will explain so much. I mean, the fact that it's not anymore is another testament to why things are the way they are now, you know. People don't know what their rights are. People think owning a television is a right in this country, and it's not.
No, go to the mall at Christmas time. People apparently think they have a constitutional right to a close parking space.
Yeah.
So, you know, there you go. Hey, Nick, we got to roll along, but good to hear from you, brother.
Yeah, you too, Bob.
All right, take care. Looking forward to seeing you.
Absolutely, man. See you there.
Bye now. Big 4th of July celebration coming up at Kayford Mountain. And for any of those of you who can make it, I can't imagine a better place to celebrate the independence of this country. I don't know if it's a covered dish kind of affair or anything, but I've been toying with the idea of smoking a couple of pork shoulders, making some hellacious barbecue sauce, and taking some hot yellow slaw, too. Because I still enjoy making it, even if I can't eat it. You might look around and you'll find details. So that's it for tonight. Thanks for all your forms of participation. Thanks for your encouragement. Thank you for the contributions that you send to keep the Head On Radio Network on the air, to create these 10 or so hours a day that battle back against, let's see, 10, 1, 2,500, 1 for 1. So for supporting the 10 hours a day that go to battle back against 25,700 hours of right-wing obscenity. Thank you. I hope you are filled with a profound sense of the rightness of what you're doing. Thank you. And thank you again to the bravest, hardest working people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. You can be part of the fight against mountaintop removal. You can be part of the solution to the mountaintop removal problem just by joining. And it's cheap. But you will know that in the small, small cost of joining Coal River Mountain Watch, you will know that you are standing shoulder to shoulder with real patriots. Patriots not just for the working day, patriots not just for today, but for tomorrow and 1,000 tomorrows. Thanks to Peter Godbold and John Fox. Thanks to Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk. He, too, has a fundraiser going on. Because we're liberals, this is how we have to do things. It just is. WhiteRoseSociety.org. Everything that happens on the horn goes out into the internet world because of Ben Birch's hard, single-handed work. Coming up, Peter Godbold with a truly fabulous guest. And you will stick around. You'll be blown away. Jessica Williams coming up in just a matter of minutes. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.